Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, Law Offices of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is Thursday, July 8, 2010. This is a conference call that's being recorded, so anyone who does not wish their voice to be recorded should hang up now. I would suggest you keep your identities confidential if you have any questions to ask, because this call is public. Everybody can listen to it. Just by participating in this call, we have not agreed to be your lawyers and you have not agreed to retain us. So this is basically just a information call. Okay. With that said, let me get started on the questions that were posted. I was mentioning earlier that I think we might have enough time to answer more questions than have been posted. So stick around. Let's see how many questions we can get. Okay. Starting with the first one from Naveen 256. He has passed his professional engineering exam, so the position will change to a professional position. Now, the question is, do we need to do an H-1 amendment? Well, you know, it's a very difficult question to answer without looking at the two job descriptions, but in my view, going from an intern to a professional engineer appears to be a substantial change. Okay. The salary itself I'm not that concerned about. It is the duties that I'm more concerned about. It appears to me that the duties of the position would have changed substantially. Okay. So, you know, from an intern to a professional engineer, I think you need an H-1 amendment. Okay. I'm currently on my first H-1 extension. I have an approved I-140. If needed, they'll probably reluctantly agree for an H-1 amendment. I don't know what your green card was approved as. Was it approved as an intern? If so, you have a fairly complicated situation which I want you to discuss with your lawyers, or set up a call with me, do a consultation, show me your documents. I want to see your green card documents as well as the change in the job description, etc., before I give you proper advice. This is not something I can make a snap judgment on. Because, you know, if your job has changed substantially over the green card job as well, we have a couple of very strong issues that we need to discuss that could go against you, okay? So, but, you know, don't lose sleep over it. These things can be managed if handled properly. Talk with your lawyers. If for some reason you're not comfortable talking with them, you're certainly welcome to do a consultation with us. Next question, green card and wait, priority date portability. The question is about an A number. How do I make sure that my A number is the one that should go with the I-140, or is it the one that was given for my EAD? I believe it should be the same A number. Now, I could be wrong in this, but I believe it should be the same A number all the way through. Let me suggest this to you. Contact the USCIS customer service, see what they can do to answer your question. Okay. So the question is, by the way, I want to also add one more thing for you. These days, USCIS has taken up the practice of reviewing all I-140s approved against your name and automatically allocating to you the earliest priority date to which you are entitled. So even if you did not have your copy of your I-140 approval, you might be able to do your priority date transfer just because USCIS is inclined to do it anyway. However, this situation is such that I think you should have a quick call with the USCIS customer service, see what they suggest. Next question is Muddy Patrick. I'm sorry. It's Ramakrishna. Says my current employer filed my green card is running my payroll using EAD. No more H-1. If I want to switch to another employer, should I go through W-2 or 1099? Of course, W-2 is the preferred mode in my opinion. Is it necessary to file AC-21? Read my article on my blog on what my suggestions on AC-21 are. There is a lot of confusion and a lot of different thoughts on this. I would say maybe 50% lawyers want to file an AC-21 letter, 50% don't. I am one of those who wants to file an AC-21. So, in my view, yes, you should. Consultant 007, I-140 appeal pending for 15 months. I think you have a misunderstanding. I-140 appeal times are about 24 to some 26, 27 months plus. So that's the fact that an appeal has been pending for 15 months means nothing. Okay. So I'm looking at your questions. Can we help in expediting in any way? No, we cannot. I need to file AC-21. Well, if your I-140 is not approved, I don't know what an AC-21 filing will do, because if the I-140 is ultimately declined, then the AC-21 is worth nothing. So I have no idea what to do. It's a very difficult situation. I think you should have filed a second green card. I am not sure whether your lawyers advise you to do that or not, but that certainly was the best thing to do, and even now it might be the best thing to do. File another green card, whether through the same employer or another employer. Remember, if the appeal is going to stay pending for another 9-10 months, you'll definitely be able to get another H-1 extension past your 6 years, so that should give you enough time, hopefully, to keep getting H-1 extensions. Okay, that's what I'm recommending. Next question is NECAT. Wife on L1 visa, I'm a GC holder. When to apply for her GC? Well, the good news is that L1 visas, since they are dual intent visas, usually there are no problems. Even if you have a green card filed, it should not interfere with her L1. So questions are, if I apply for her I-130 right now, will she have any trouble getting her L1 visa extension? No, I don't think so. Both petitioning and stamping, I don't think so. I don't think there should be any problem because of the green card pending. Is it possible to change from L1 to F1? F1 is very, very complicated if you have a 485 pending, an I-130 pending. So I don't think that would be a real possibility, although you never know. Okay. Next question, Monica 1, currently having an H1 with company 1. I have an offer from company 2 and 3. These two companies want to initiate H-1 transfer. Can I allow company 2 and 3 to initiate H-1 transfer? Yes, you can. Will company 1 know about it? I don't think they will. I don't see how they could. If I decide to stay with company 1 only, will this H-1 transfer to 2 and 3 prevent me from staying with company 1? No. Just because a subsequent H-1 has been approved, it does not overrule your current H-1. So even if 2 and 3 get their H-1 approvals, you can continue working with company 1. The only thing that could cause you a problem is if the company 2 and 3 come after you under any contracts that you have signed, etc. But from an immigration law perspective, there is no problem. Yashraj 31, H-1B transfer, RFE education evaluation. Oh, he's already talked with me before we started the call. He was on the phone with me. So he wanted to know, oh no, I think it's a little different question. Apply for transfer to CSC under PP, I'm not sure, I guess PP means premium processing. I got an RFE on H-1B transfer on education evaluation. If we answer this RFE, can we get additional RFEs on different queries? You can, but normally no. Normally it's rare to get a second query on an H-1 case. And if you do get it, usually it is a clarification of response to an existing RFE, but not always. Sometimes, you can get a second RFE, like on an issue like ability to pay, even though they have questioned education earlier. Next question is Tushar Balla. He came to USA on a blanket L1 approval, and he got I-94 till 2012, although the visa is ending in 2010. Tushar, your information is correct. While you are in USA, you should not need an extension because you have an I-94 that takes you all the way to 2012. As far as I remember, this is an idiosyncrasy in blanket petitions that even though your visa is given for a shorter term, INS pretty much always gives you a 3-year I-94 and you're allowed to continue working for these 3 years. I don't see any reason why you need why you need a you know, an L1 extension. I don't know any reason to do that. Natasha Ghai wants to know, I'm on L2, have a valid EAD, can I start my own business? Yes, you can start with sole ownership or partnership both. If my husband moves to H-1B status and I move to a student visa, can I still run my own business? No, you cannot. You can only run your business as long as you're on L2 and you have an EAD. Next question, A.K. Agarwal, I'm on H-1B, planning to visit India. I heard that consulate is delaying in stamping. They can, but not in all cases. And at the point of entry, they are just deporting or letting people in for 2-3 months. That's not true. I don't know of any cases after those two cases reported last year in Newark. There were a couple of cases randomly during that time frame from one or two other ports. But basically after that, I've not had any major issues reported at the port of entry or at the airport. Okay. Kimi Rav, possibility of H-1B transfer while extension is pending. Currently, I'm with employer A with H-1B valid till July 25th, 2010. H-1B extension has been applied for. Another company wants to do it. See, if they get your application, your extension filed before July 25th or transfer filed before July 25th, that's the best possible scenario for you. That way, otherwise what happens is, let's say they file after July 25th, then your status is daisy chained. Unless employer A's extension gets approved, employer B's transfer will not be approved. If employer B's transfer is approved, it will be approved only subject to you going and stamping your visa. So, bottom line, yes, tell your second employer to file your H-1 transfer and do so before July 25th if possible. Is it possible, is it prudent to initiate H-1B transfer with company by an extension? But yeah, there's no problem in filing this extension in answer to your question number one. Question number two says, what happens if extension pending with employer X, which is current employer, gets approved and transfer is declined? No problem. No problem. You can continue working. Even if the denial comes after the approval of the X and the Y denial comes later, there's no problem. You can continue working with X because denial of Y does not overrule approval of X. Approval of Y does not overrule approval of, approval of Y does not overrule approval of X. So whether you're denied or approved, it should not affect the approval of X. Will filing an H-1B transfer application with Company Y have any adverse effect? No adverse effect. As Company Y is a consulting company, what are your thoughts on employer-employee? Almost certainly there will be scrutiny for that. Another issue is my H-1B extension application has been applied on July 5th. I'm planning to self-file extension for H-4. Is it possible to file H-4 if at all H-1B extension received notice will get delayed? I don't remember the exact scenario, how it is done, but I believe even without a receipt, you should be able to file for an H-4 extension. Contact the USCIS customer service, ask them what they suggest. I recall doing this in the past. I don't remember the exact details. Let's get GC 2005 pending 45 question. Your application is pending and waiting for assignment or to an officer. And they have said your application is pre-adjudicated. You should read my blog. There is an article on pre-adjudication and what it means. Basically, the idea is they have already approved the case. They're only waiting for priority date to get current. Of course, they can always reopen and ask other questions, but usually they should not. Well, folks, I was able to pretty much cover all questions within 14 minutes. It looks like I have one more question, and then we can open the floor to questions following what I have discussed now. And then after that, if we have time, we'll take on new questions. Carolina Parent, he wants to know, I want to file for citizenship. And the answer is yes, you can. As far as I know, why not? You've got a green card, and you've had it for 5 years. You are over 21 years of age. You should be able to file your citizenship. Do you need an attorney? I don't see why. I don't see anything complicated about your case. But, you know, I'm not an asylum specialist. As far as I know, you are fine. you can double check with somebody who practices political asylum and deportation exclusions, etc. I don't think there should be a problem. Okay, good luck to you. Let me see what I can do here. Give me 1 second. Press *6 to speak with me. *6. People who have already posted questions first, please.
Rajiv?
Yeah?
This is Naveen 256, first question.
Yeah, Naveen, what was your question, remind me?
On the change in position from my engineering intern to a
professional. Yep, intern to engineer, I remember, yes, okay.
Both the H-1 and the green card labors were for a structural engineer intern.
This is a fairly complicated issue, Naveen. Please have a meeting with your lawyers, sit down with them, discuss it. If for some reason you're not happy with them, go ahead and contact my office for a consultation. I want to see all your paperwork.
Briefly, I just want to mention that the duties are going to be exactly the same. The only change will be a sign and seal that I can do on my own.
Look,
rather than
if the duties, well, I don't know about that. I still feel that I would like to look at the job description. If the duties are 100% the same, because saying that I can now sign on my own behalf is actually an increase in responsibility as far as I can tell. Because an intern works under supervision of a qualified professional engineer. And I feel that there's a major difference between an intern and a professional engineer. But again, I don't want to comment about it without looking at your paperwork.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Next question, folks. *6 to speak with me. Anybody who has posted questions, press *6. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv.
Yes.
This is Green Card Wait, the second question.
Yes, sir. What was your question?
This was regarding the IA, the priority date portability.
Yes, I got it.
If you change employers. You had requested, and you said that the USCIS is these days following all the 140s that are filed for
American. They run a scan, a sweep of their own system to see what other I-140s have been approved for you. Okay. And they tend to assign you the earliest date which you are entitled to.
I just wanted to check, what happens in this scenario if the current employer or the one that we have the 140 approved with revokes it? Does that impact it in any way?
I don't know how their internal system works, and they've never made this public, but I believe it should not make a difference. That's my belief. However, I think I advise you to just go ahead and make a call to the USCIS customer service. Uh-huh. Normally what happens is if the frontline people are not able to answer your question, they should be able to put you through to an adjudicating officer.
Okay. And they are able to give the correct guidelines of what happens in the case that they're revoking.
They should.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next question, folks.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Nikat, spouse on L1, and I'm a green card holder.
Got it. I remember your case.
And the question is, I'm in my second year of green card, mm-hmm. and the date for India spouse under Category 2 here has moved up recently.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be your suggestion, to wait for the citizenship?
I would wait for the citizenship.
To file her green card?
I would wait for the citizenship.
So that would be 3 more years. But.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see any advantage in filing. Now, unless you see that there is some kind of comprehensive immigration reform coming, the moment you see some strong chances of that, maybe you want to file the I-130. Because there might be some advantage in people whose I-130s are pending. Remember how there was V-Visa at one time? V-Visa said if somebody's green card has been pending for 1 year, they get a V-Visa to come to USA. Okay. So if there's a revival of V-Visa, I mean, of course, that'll be nice that you could get into V visa right away.
And is it possible to change your case if I decide to file 130 right now, to change it, like as a spouse of a?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What you do is, when you get your citizenship approval,
mm-hmm.
you can either take it. Easiest thing would be to just go downtown, take an appointment with InfoPass, and follow the instructions they give you. They can upgrade your case to spouse of a citizen right away.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, anybody else? *6? Old questions? All right. New questions? Any questions? Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Rajiv. This is E.K. Agarwal.
Hi, Agarwal, sir.
I just asked the last question regarding going to India.
Regarding going to India. Is that, remind me, what question is that?
Okay, yeah. Another question.
Mr. Agarwal, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. What did you say?
Just hold on. Yeah. Hello? Yeah, is it better now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
All right, okay. It was regarding, like, basically, I heard from the sources regarding consulate delay and stamping. That question. So
now, consulate scans delay in stamping. But that was always the case. Mm-hmm. It is unpredictable when and how they will. Typically, if you are working for a third party, not your own employer, they could delay you. They could ask for more information. What kind of case do you have? Are you working in-house or are you working at a client side?
I'm working at the client side.
Yeah. So they can delay you a little bit. Now, how far, how much, it's hard to say.
I understand. Okay. Yeah, because of the latest rule that I heard that came, like, that your reporting manager should be, like, from the same from a company like that, something like that.
Yeah. Read the January 8th memorandum from USCIS.
Okay.
It talks about what they are looking for, basically, your employer to control you. This is something that you should discuss with your lawyers. Of course, you're welcome to make an appointment with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss with your lawyers, see what they suggest. Essentially, the consulates are going to re-adjudicate the case. They're going to reopen the look at the case all over again.
Okay. I understand.
Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. Good luck. Anyone else, folks? Any questions?
Yeah, hi, Rajiv. This is Vimirav.
Yes.
Regarding this question between extension application and transfer application.
Sure.
And you had mentioned that if there is a transfer application, it's better that be filed before
July 25th.
The 25th. So
yeah.
What happens if it is filed afterwards?
See, that's what I'm saying. What happens is, if it is filed before July 25th, you are not relying upon the approval of Company X for approval of Company Y.
Okay.
But if it gets filed after July 25th,
mm-hmm.
now the second application can be held until the first application is decided, because your status depends upon the first application.
Okay.
Because 26th your status expires.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Now, it becomes a daisy chain. If employer X's extension is denied, then Y transfer will be denied. They'll make you go outside and get a visa stamp.
Okay.
So, therefore, it's better to do it before July 25th.
Okay, for that reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gives you more options, gives you a stronger case.
Okay, thanks, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck. Folks, anyone else?
Rajiv, I had a follow-up question. This is Naveen 256 on the change in position.
Sure.
I had a meeting with the employer tomorrow, and I was wondering, the worst-case scenario would be that I would need to restart the process?
I think this can be prevented with a little bit of planning. But if you have to restart, then you have to restart. What I'm concerned about is the state of the economy. Can we really justify having to restart the application? It's difficult for me to comment, in a vacuum. But, yeah,
right.
That's the worst case scenario, yes.
Hello?
Otherwise, we just do the concern I've got, I guess, is if I do an amended H-1 and not do anything to the green card process, won't that...
No, I think it'll have to be a concerted strategy, a concerted decision where you decide upon both things. You can't be saying, on the one hand, it's a substantially different position, and then on the other hand, it is not. So, definitely.
So
you need
should
to
be
discuss.
Matching on both of them.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Because, my extension H-1 just started this June, so...
Right.
And I got the result end of June, so it's like...
Yeah. Well, it's a shame that taking a promotion or a step up in your career should become such a problem. But that's the way, in its infinite wisdom, USCIS, in concert with Congress, has set up these laws.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Yashraj 31. I had my question under the administrator because I couldn't post it myself for some reason.
Right.
The question was regarding the H-1 transfer.
Mm-hmm.
One piece of information that I had not mentioned is my H-1 extension with my current company, I had an RFP.
Mm-hmm.
And the documents were sent and it is under process right now.
Okay.
And I have offers from a couple of companies who want to initiate the transfer. So given this information also, it doesn't matter if I let the transfer be initiated. It will not impact in any way if I decide to stay with the current company only.
Yeah, same answer. No difference.
Yeah. Okay. So, and another thing about this was, Rajiv, that actually I want my current company to do my green card, but as of now they are not. So, I plan to, you know, kind of threaten to resign so that maybe they initiate my green card. But considering the fact that my H1 is currently under RFE, should I wait for it to get approved before doing something like that?
Difficult question to say. Immigration law-wise, it doesn't make a difference. But yeah, certainly I think if you have the H1 approval, the company has more stake in you because they've gotten approval for you, and they might be willing to do your green card more readily.
Okay.
So it's better to wait for the approval, in my opinion.
Okay, but the fact that I have an RFC on this one doesn't in any way impact the H1 transfer, that I'll get an RFC on that also because I have an RFC here. It's unrelated.
It's unrelated. RFCs are usually related more to the job and to the employer, less so to you. So, you know, for example, if you have an education issue, then it will be raised time and time again. That's not a problem.
Correct.
So, no, normally just because there was an RFC on one employer or job doesn't mean that it has impact on any following H1 for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, next question. Wow, this is the first time in the history of...
Go ahead. Hi, Mr. Rajiji, this is again Mr. Arora. Can I talk to you again?
Yes, you can.
Okay. This is not related to my RFP. Now, this is related to EB1 category for filing my green card. Let's suppose I get my H1 transfer, which I am very positive about.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go back to India and work for the same company after getting an H1,
right,
and I work as a manager there, and I get the proof of extraordinary ability alien
There are three subcategories within EB1. The one that you are thinking of does not require proof of extraordinary achievement. All it requires is, it's called the international managers and executive category. All it requires is that you have worked as a managerial or executive level employee for 1 year outside USA for a branch, affiliate, or parent of this company. Okay?
Right.
And then they are bringing you in as an international manager to work inside USA. You get your green card within a year.
Right. So what I'm saying is, because I know this company very well, they don't have an office in India, but we are planning to open an office in India this year.
Acceptable. That is perfectly acceptable. There is no law that says you must have had an office for, you know, X number of years.
Right. So let's suppose if they have an, because I don't have experience in the same company in India outside the U.S., right? So
you can,
we open
you can
an office.
You can get the experience now. You can open the office, hire 5-10 people quickly, and get the experience.
Right. So I can get that experience for 1 year, and then I can have a good salary, a high salary, and the experience showing that I have put some people who are mentoring under me. So with that, we can apply, because I want to apply my green card through you.
Stop. High salary is not a requirement of this category either.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
You are mixing two three different categories.
No, because it is written in your website, actually.
That's for extraordinary ability, not for international managers.
Oh, that's not for international managers.
No.
Okay. So only one year outside the U.S. is good enough, that's what you're saying, right?
1 year as an executive or managerial level employee.
Right. I'm going to get that manager executive level experience for 1 year. But I just want to ask you, if I get my H1, if I go back for 1 year in my H1 status to India for 1 year, will that be a problem if I come back when I apply for my EB1?
Not at all. You can come back on H1 or you can come back on L1A.
Okay. No, because it should be 3 years the company should have been open in India, right? So I can't apply for L1A.
There is no such requirement that the company must have been open for 3 years. No such
requirement. Because they ask for 3-year tax return when you go for L1.
No. They only ask for transactions, business transactions for 1 year.
Okay, business transaction for 1 year, right? So so basically with H1B status, I can stay outside for 1 year also if I can, because then I don't need to go for new stamping, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay, and then I can come and apply for my EB1 through you guys, because that's what I want to do through you guys. That's what I'm just thinking.
No problem. Anything we
can
be happy to assist.
Thank you, Mr. Rajiji. Thank you so much. You've done such a great thing for the society. You know, thank you much.
No problem. Arasa, one thing you need to keep in mind is
that
if you come back on the same H1B, you would have to take the same job that you were doing on H1. So we might have to do an L1 for you before we bring you in.
Oh, okay. So because I have applied for a management analyst position, and when I go back to India, it's going to be more of a manager,
exactly.
IT manager.
Exactly. So you can't use
then,
the same H1, you know.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is not a big deal. I'm not concerned about that.
Okay, but one thing, I want to just go through my H1 thing and get things approved and then come and do the whole thing through you guys, everything, you know.
Another thing you can do is, once your 1 year is over, without coming to USA, start your EB1 case. In about 6-8 months, you get your EB1, come on green card.
Oh, from India, I can apply EB1?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought we have to come apply in here only.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, so you will provide assistance from India if I want to hire you, like, you know, in terms of hiring your, you know, law firm?
Sir, God has been kind. We have clients in every country in this world.
So no you problem. Have in Delhi, you have an office in Delhi, sir?
We don't, but we don't need an office. All we need is some way of contacting you and you have contacted
okay.
us. Emails, faxes, FedExes, and telephones in the line.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Good luck, sir.
Bye-bye. Thanks,
sir. Folks, anyone else? Like I said, it's the first time in the history of conference calls. In the last 20 years, I've been done in half an hour.
Thank you, Bill. This is the first time, because last time also I attended, sir, and, you know, everyone was so much, you know, rushy, and they didn't let me ask the question.
That's
this time it's strange. Just 32 minutes.
See, what happened was that last 5 days I was busy in a conference, and before that I could not do a conference call because I was addressing employers on similar issues. So we had an employers conference call. So what happened was I think people forgot about the conference call, and this time when we did it, we got a few, very few, almost half the questions we usually do. So which is fine, which is no problem at all. But good luck to all of you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Rajiv. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Okay.